Good morning and welcome to Spirit in the Morning. I'm a little discombobulated here. Somebody messed with my microphones yesterday, but I am back in operation. I got it together. Welcome to the program. I'm Gary Zimak. We've got a great show for you today. Let's kick it off with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, you've brought us to the beginning of a new day, and we give you thanks for that. Father, even if we don't feel especially thankful today, we're going to thank you anyway. Thank you for allowing us to be alive, for loving us so much that you created us. Father, help us to see you in everyone we meet today. Help us to see your presence in every situation. Help us to always remember that you are with us. As we go throughout the upcoming weeks and things get hectic during the Advent season, help us to always keep our focus on you. Father, we ask you to bless us, to bless our families, to bless our coworkers, our fellow students, everyone that we meet today. We ask you to shower them with your blessings. We ask you, Father, to help those who are homeless today, help those who are homebound. We ask you to strengthen our faith, help us to be able to see you more clearly today. And we ask you to speak through us on the program this morning. And please open our minds and hearts to be receptive to your message. We ask for these things in the most holy, sacred, and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, you are listening to Spirit in the Morning, the Delaware Valley's only local Catholic morning show. Make sure you let somebody know that we are here and that we are here to lift you up. Today on the program, we're going to be joined by Father Jeff Kirby, who is a priest from the Diocese of Charleston, South Carolina. He's going to be sharing some thoughts on Advent and also on the Immaculate Conception, an important day that we're going to be celebrating in a couple of days. Also, we'll be joined by Dr. Robert Waples. He's the author of the new book, Pope Francis and the Caring Society. Sometimes we think all Pope Francis should be caring about are spiritual matters, faith and morals. Forget the environment, forget the economy. What the heck is he talking about? Well, as you'll see, these things have a lot more to do with faith than you might think. So we're going to be talking to Robert Waples about that very shortly. Right now, I'd like to introduce, waiting anxiously in the bullpen, the one, the only, Dave Parker.
Yeah, good morning, Gary. How are you?
Doing great, brother.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm pumped for this show. You're really excited today.
I'm always excited. And you know why? Because we look.
More so, yeah.
We look over at that chair that was empty yesterday.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, and look who's back. Frank Eliason is back with us.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Frank. How are you, brother?
I had the chance to listen to you while driving yesterday, so it was quite fun. It was a good show. Okay.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'm glad. And we didn't destroy anything yesterday, Frank.
That's right.
The station is still running, right?
Exactly.
Well, I don't think, maybe that one, no.
Dave was here longer yesterday.
And I went on. I was privileged to stay and put on the Word of God with Monsignor and Janet, Monsignor O'Donnell.
Nice.
Yeah, quick shout out to Monsignor. You know, thank you for Mass yesterday. I wasn't here, but I heard about it in your beautiful homily, and so I know he listens to Spirit in the Morning. So, Monsignor, just thank you very much.
Yes, Monsignor, yeah. Thank you. We are.
What a blessing.
Yeah, he is. He is. He's a great blessing. You know, when we were at the Stand Up for Life dinner, I had the pleasure of sitting next to him, and we got to chat a little bit. What a cool guy.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about his career in the priesthood. I mean, it was just really, talked about Vatican II, about Cardinal Kroll. It was really fascinating. Yes. I just loved hanging out with him.
He's an inspiring person. So, you know, just the fact that we have the privilege to be around him each week.
Amen.
Is really terrific. I, you know, love when he does Mass, and I was just sorry that I wasn't here for it.
Yeah, and he has a great sense of humor, down-to-earth guy. I mean, just a humble guy.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Yeah. Very fitting, you know, with the station and everything that we strive to do here and everything that we talk about on this show. So, you know, really just a blessing to have him. Mm-hmm. So I was down in D.C. yesterday for some business meetings, and I was there all day and, you know, get through the meetings, and I had to walk to my car. So I drive a truck, and my truck didn't fit in any of the parking lots. So I was parked about a mile away. And so I'm walking back. What happens? I run into a friend from Philadelphia.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was kind of like, you know, very odd.
Yeah, who knew?
Yeah, exactly. So Washington, D.C. is a small place, it turns out.
Oh, it is.
So, no, I had a good trip down to D.C., and, you know, it was, I enjoy actually those drives. I actually enjoy long rides.
Yeah, also known as the District, because when I retired, I was down in Walter Reed in the in Northwest, you know, D.C. Northwest. It's divided into quadrants, mm-hmm. and Walter Reed, well, it's closed now. It's now at Bethesda. Long story, but it was in Northwest, and I would get downtown then post-military when I was working as a contractor. Hmm. And that's why I asked, you know, where you were. And you said you were, like, right around the White House.
I was literally right across the street from the White House. So
it's a very small place, actually.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
The district. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it is beautiful, and the people that were there are, you know, very nice and friendly. And a lot of construction going on down there, which is...
Wow.
Anytime I'm in a city and I see a lot of construction, that to me, brings a lot of hope.
Yeah.
Oh, it does.
That good things are happening. So... Mm-hmm. Certainly, there was a lot of construction going on down there, so that was good to see.
Well, and I'm glad you didn't run into major traffic problems. You said
it was... I left at 5 in the morning So I had plenty of time. I was going to get to my meeting. My meeting wasn't until 10, so I had plenty of time. And then, you know, but the problem I ran into, it took me about 45 minutes to find a parking place. Mm-hmm. And it's funny. I've been down there numerous times. I've parked in the same parking lot accidentally 3 or 4 times. Yeah. And it's never intentional. And I just and there's even 3 right there. And I always go in the same one. Yeah. It's really strange. But at least I could remember where my car was.
Real quick question. Good. What were you listening to us on 1420 as you went? Or were you on TuneIn? Or were you listening on...
You know me better. I do it all streaming.
I know. But I was wondering, when I drive out of the area, and especially down into Maryland...
You can get 1420 pretty far sometimes.
And depending on the atmospherics, I call it, you know, it's like, when am I going to lose signal? You know, but I'm surprised. I get it well into Maryland some oftentimes, you know, around Aberdeen and even further down. Anyways.
So it's great that you can listen to us anywhere.
That's
right. You can
listen
online, holyspiritradio.org, through TuneIn Radio.
Pretty much any time I travel, I'm listening at some point. Now, if I travel out west, I may not always catch your show.
Yeah. Mm.
I have been known to sleep through your show.
you are not the first one, Mr. Eisen. And on that note...
Well, I would say Frank gave me this look. Dave, you're so old school.
All right. I think it's time for the weather, boys.
Anyways.
The current temperature at the Philadelphia International Airport, and I'm excited to read this forecast, and you'll see why. Current temperature at the Philadelphia International Airport is 47 degrees at the moment under overcast skies. Today, mostly cloudy, gradually becoming sunny with a high near 47. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 35. Thursday, sunny with a high near 48. At the moment, in Conshohocken, it's 41. In New Britain, it's 41. Mm. And in Westchester, it's 40. Mm. So why, Gary, are you excited or a little giddy to read this forecast?
And when did you start talking to yourself?
Yeah.
Right now. On Friday night, skipping ahead.
Oh, I knew he was
a chance
going.
Of...
Oh, no.
Snow!
The S word?
Let me just
crumple
it.
I don't think it's supposed to be anything really measurable.
I know, but all kidding aside, I'm not ready for this, guys.
Oh, man.
I know it's December. I know we just not, but it's not going to be anything major.
No, it's not supposed to be. So unless, you know, you're up for lake effect snow this week, which we're not in that area. But, you know, other than that, I don't think on Friday it's supposed to be that measurable. I think it's supposed to move fairly quickly through.
Frank, is there any truth to the rumor that we're going to open a station down somewhere in Florida?
There's
Radio South.
Like that.
Talk to Dale and Jay.
I don't know where that came from. I'm thinking of the warmth. I'm helping you out, brother.
If I remember correctly, Ave Maria at one point had that, and you know, they didn't keep it, and I think Al Cresta wasn't too thrilled that they didn't keep it because he liked working out of the Florida office.
Yeah, warmth over, super cold. Where is he now? Up in Michigan?
Great idea, though, Dave. I like the way you think.
All right, let's pray about it.
Let's take a look at the gospel from today's Mass. It comes from Matthew chapter 15, verses 29 through 37. And by the way, the cool thing about all of the gospels during Advent, they're all over the place. We're not going sequentially. So what the church does is try to guide us down a certain path to help us. to prepare for the Lord. So we're looking for, at Matthew's words today. At that time, Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, went up on the mountain, and sat down there. Great crowds came to him, having with them the lame, the blind, the deformed, the mute, and many others. They placed them at his feet, and he cured them. The crowds were amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the deformed made whole, the lame walking, and the blind able to see. And they glorified the God of Israel. Jesus summoned his disciples and said, "My heart is moved with pity for the crowd, for they have been with me now for 3 days and have nothing to eat. I don't want to send them away hungry for fear they may collapse on the way." The disciples said to him, "Where could we ever get enough bread in this deserted place to satisfy such a crowd?" And Jesus said to them, "How many loaves do you have?" "Seven," they replied, "and a few fish." He ordered the crowd to sit down on the ground. Then he took the seven loaves and the fish, gave thanks, broke the loaves, and gave them to the disciples, who in turn gave them to the crowds. They all ate and were satisfied. They picked up the fragments left over, seven baskets full. This is a great gospel because in the first part of this, we see Jesus healing people with many different ailments, right? Mm-hmm. Then he tells the disciples, "My heart is moved with pity for the crowd." Great message because mm-hmm. he cares that the people are hungry, right? Mm-hmm. After witnessing all of these miracles, what do the disciples say? "Hey, where are we going to get enough food?"
Exactly.
They're thinking with their human minds and mm-hmm. just missing mm-hmm. the point
exactly.
that Jesus can perform miracles. And then what did Jesus do? He didn't even talk. He didn't address the disciples. He talked to the people, and mm-hmm. he said, how many loaves do you have?
Exactly.
How many fish?
Give he
them,
bypassed.
Right?
Yeah.
Right. All right. Give
the
them to me.
Yeah.
He miraculously multiplied them and fed all the people.
Yeah. If I get, you know, everybody visualize, you know, right over the head.
Right.
Right.
Well,
as
happens to us so
a
many
lot of
times
it, yeah.
when we panic about the situations in our lives are thinking, exactly. "I'm not going to have the strength to do this. I can't share my faith with others. I'm not strong enough." Hey, listen, turn to the Lord. He wants to help you. And the other big message in this mm-hmm. is when you look at the actions Jesus did, he took the bread, he broke it, he blessed it. Mm-hmm. That really gives us an image of what happens at Mass,
exactly.
the Eucharist.
Oh,
and the ultimate perfectly. Bread yeah. for life, the bread of life he gives us is his very body at Mass. So,
amen.
Man, we're
yeah.
covered. Relax.
Yeah. Yeah, relax. Turn to him. He can do it. He can do anything we ask him.
Amen. All right, when we come back, Father Jeff Kirby, stay tuned.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for December 6th. Today we celebrate St. Nicholas. Children of all ages can readily identify the saint we honor today, the man with the twinkling eyes, the smiling face, and the ample body in the pillowed red suit. We don't know exactly what he looked like, nor do we have many hard facts about him, but that is no impediment to his popularity. Historically, we can pinpoint only the fact that Nicholas was the Bishop of Myra in Asia Minor in the 4th century. Perhaps the best-known legend about him concerns his charity toward a poor man who was unable to provide dowries for his three daughters of marriageable age. Rather than see them forced into prostitution, Nicholas secretly tossed a bag of gold through the poor man's window on three separate occasions so all the daughters could be married. In time, this legend evolved into the custom of gift-giving on the saint's feast. In English-speaking countries, St. Nicholas became Santa Claus by a twist of the tongue, further expanding the example of generosity portrayed by this holy bishop. Though Nicholas died in the mid-4th century, his legend lives on.
The new Saint of the Day app is available now for your smartphone or tablet. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is made possible in part by Summers and Zims, where safety and comfort are the foundations upon which our grandfathers built the company. We provide 24/7 emergency service in plumbing, furnace, and air conditioning repair, proudly serving Westchester, Exton, Downingtown, Coatesville, and Kennett Square, as well as southern and eastern Lancaster County. If you are having an emergency with any of these systems, call Summers and Zims at 610-593-5129 or visit our website at sumzim.com, and we will gladly help you return to full operation.
More enjoyable than Scrabble. Spirit.
Spirit.
Spirit in the Morning with Gary Simak.
Long time ago in Bethlehem, so the Holy Bible say, Mary's boy child, Jesus Christ, was born on Christmas Day. Hark now, hear the angels sing, a king is born today. A man will live forevermore because of Christmas Day.
While shepherds watched their flocks by night, they saw a brand new shining star. They heard a choir sing, the music seemed to come from afar.
Hark now, hear the angels sing, a king is born today. A man will live forevermore because of Christmas Day. Bethlehem that night, they found no place to bear her child, not a single room in sight.
And then they found a little nook in a stable all forlorn, and in a manger cold and dark, Mary's little boy was born.
And welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. That was Mary's Boy Child by Toby Mac featuring Jamie Grace. Great sing-along song, isn't it, for this Wednesday morning? I'm Gary Zimak, and thanks for tuning in to the program. We are joined now by our friend Father Jeffrey Kirby. He is a priest from the Diocese of Charleston, South Carolina. You can find him online at fatherkirby.com. That's frkirby.com. Hey, Father Kirby, good morning.
Good morning, Gary.
How are you today, my friend?
It's good. I tell you, I cannot believe we're already in the middle of December. Time is moving.
I know, and that's, you know what, Father? Here, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about the Immaculate Conception today, which I wanted to address with you, but that pesky Holy Spirit, as I'm driving up to the station, the Holy Spirit's placing on my heart, talk to Father Kirby about Advent. So, you know, Father, you're a big believer in following the promptings of the Spirit, so I gotta he knows best. So let's talk about this a little. It's very easy, even though we're just in the first week of Advent, to begin to panic and say, uh-oh, I'm supposed to get close to the Lord. What the heck is going on? I'm too busy. Do you have any words of wisdom for us, Father?
Yes, and first of all, I'm really glad you've mentioned that, Gary, because, I think that Advent is one of those seasons that, you know, more and more is just getting eclipsed.
Yeah.
You know, we kind of hit that Christmas rush, and
right.
then, you know, in addition to all the hustle, the regular hustle and bustle of life, we have, you know, Christmas cards, decorations, parties, you know, mm-hmm. gifts, and all those things, and Advent can just get lost.
Yeah.
And, I want to encourage people to use your Advent, you know, it's that pause, and how to do that. Best thing is, I think the first thing is, go to confession.
Great advice.
You know, yeah, we can forget that there's a penitential season, so I go to confession. You know, take on, you know, just like with Lent, take on something else. Maybe, you know, add extra time for prayer or
right.
reading of the scriptures or some other devotional. I just think it's a blessed season in which God wants to pour out so many graces. And if we're not careful, then the secular version of Christmas can kind of steal, you know, those graces from each of us. So, yes, it, you know, seize your advent.
I like it. You know, Father, you mentioned something that is often overlooked, that there is a penitential aspect to the Advent season, right? I mean, the celebrations have already begun, and that's not necessarily a bad thing, but if we lose that that concept of penance, or the fact that maybe I need to do something, I need to change something in my life so that I can grow closer to the Lord and move right ahead to the celebration, we're missing a golden opportunity.
Exactly. And I stress that here in my parish. I stress that in terms of other scenarios, pastoral scenarios, that Lent, Advent is like a mini Lent. Hmm. And this is the time, to allow the Lord to transform, to renew, us. So we look and say, you know, here we have this incredible feast day coming up with the Lord's Nativity. First of all, how am I going to prepare for that?
Right.
And then, secondly, what in my discipleship needs to be renewed? I have found that the people who really take advantage of Advent, sometimes it can actually even be more beneficial than Lent. Because, you know, it's only 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. People can be more intense in terms of penance or, aspects of devotion. I think that, use this Advent. And we wear purple for a reason, and the glory is gone from the liturgy. The church has given us a clear message here of what we're supposed to be doing right now.
That's a fact that can easily get overlooked, the fact that the glory is missing now.
Yep, it's silent.
Yeah.
We're
waiting, right?
Exactly. Even the church takes on penance, And I think that's a model for us of what we're supposed to be doing in our own discipleship.
Father, if I want to find out what is missing in my life, maybe the areas that need improvement, and I'm not really sure. I know I'm supposed to repent. I'm supposed to move closer to the Lord, turn away from sin. What do I do? Would you recommend asking the Holy Spirit, what areas need improvement?
Absolutely. I think first, as a part of that, again, there can be sacramental confession.
Okay.
And just, get the sin all out, mm-hmm. and then just say, Holy Spirit, flood my soul, come into me and show me now that the darkness is out, where I need to work with you in order to get the light in, and the Holy Spirit will show us. And oftentimes, I have found in the spiritual writers today, attest that, two major areas, hope and mercy right now, are great areas that most people in the West, those are graces we really need. People can fall into desolation or despair so quickly.
Yeah.
Or secondly, like, can hold a grudge or have other people hold grudges against them. They don't really know how to deal with that or how to let the Lord heal that.
Mm.
So I think definitely we pray and we see that the Holy Spirit identifies, and we shouldn't be surprised if the Holy Spirit says, hey, you have to get some of that despair out of you.
Yeah, Father, that's the interesting thing about the Holy Spirit. He actually does something when you ask him, when you invite him in. You got to be ready, because if you're saying, Holy Spirit, let me know my flaws, or, let me know what's wrong, he does. Sometimes that's a little painful, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
We could call him the divine mirror.
There you go. Oh, ouch. Hey, Father, before we run out of time, I want to give you a chance to talk a little bit about this very important solemnity that occurs on Friday, the Immaculate Conception. Often misunderstood. I think it's surprising how many people don't really understand what we celebrate on the Immaculate Conception.
Exactly. There's still a lot of Catholics who think that it's the conception of Jesus.
Wow.
And in fact, I've noticed now a lot of liturgical books will call it the Immaculate Conception of Mary.
Mm.
They add that of Mary in
Good
order
idea.
To clarify. But so the Immaculate Conception is, in my mind, in how I approach this beautiful feast day, is a high feast day of God's providence. Because what we see on this feast day is that Our Lady, from the moment of her conception in the womb of her mother, St. Anne, she was purified of all sin. because God knew. God placed in her heart a specific, beautiful mission to be both the mother of his son and his first disciple. Mm. And we can see in this the powerful workings of God's providence, that whatever's happening in our life, good, bad, ups or downs, in the midst of it all, God is working, God is present, you know, and he is bestowing grace and a sense of mission in each and every situation we encounter. And we especially see that in Our Lady.
Wow. What an important message. You talk about people losing hope, and that can easily happen when people look at the events in their lives. But when we look at the Blessed Mother, she was prepared for the role that she was to take on. And throughout her life, she didn't have it easy. But
no.
Right? And that's important for us to remember that.
Absolutely. I guess people, I think sometimes either because they're not familiar with the biblical narrative, or we just get caught up in the misunderstanding that people think, oh, well, Mary had it easy.
Yeah.
Or no. Our Lady suffered tremendously. I mean, one of her titles is Sorrowful Mother. And Simeon, of course, prophesied, you know, this is not going to be easy. And yet God prepared her for it. The grace was there. She cooperated with it, and powerful things were done. And that's exactly the same case in each of our lives. Mm. Whatever is going to happen, illness, suffering, financial problems, relational problems, like whatever it might be, health problems, like all the above, like whatever happens in our life,
right,
God has prepared us, and he is giving us the grace to do it.
Wow, what a great message. And we can also experience his peace even in the midst of suffering, correct?
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Yes.
And that's something that the world tries to tell us is not possible. The world says in order to have peace, you've got to get rid of all of your problems.
Right.
Right.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. That happiness and suffering, peace and suffering are at odds. And we know, of course, that's not the case.
Definitely.
The Lord works through all of that.
Great message, Father Jeffrey Kirby. Before we let you go, Father, we have time, and I'd like to ask you to leave us with your blessing, if you could.
Absolutely. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we ask you to pour your Spirit upon us during this Advent season, that our hearts might be prepared to readily welcome your Son in his holy nativity. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Now, Father, before you go, I want to ask you, you have a new book coming out on the Beatitudes, correct?
Yes, we're very excited. Kingdom of Happiness, Living the Beatitudes in Everyday Life, and really kind of just a practical guide on how to live the Christian way of life, and especially the Beatitudes. And it's one of those books, you know, when I was writing, I felt the excitement.
Wow.
And I thought, this is, you know, I think we talk about a lot of things in the church that we have to, but sometimes we can forget to talk about the mission, the goal,
mm-hmm.
you know, so we can forget the Beatitudes.
Definitely. So I'm definitely interested in discussing that. When's it going to be coming out?
The book will be released actually in just, I think, about a week or so.
Awesome. Can't wait. Can't wait to see it, Father. Thanks for all the work that you do, and I really appreciate you coming on the show each month. It's a great blessing to have you. Father,
thank
have a blessed Advent and a Merry Christmas. We'll talk to you, I can't believe this, but next year. All right, Father, thank you so much. Father Jeffrey Kirby, you can find him online, frkirby.com. When we come back, we're going to be talking about Pope Francis and the Caring Society.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. Pope Francis is calling for the status quo of Jerusalem to be respected and for wisdom and prudence to prevail to avoid further conflict. The Holy Father made the appeal during his weekly general audience today ahead of the expected U.S. announcement by President Donald Trump recognizing Jerusalem as Israel's capital. The Holy Father said he was profoundly concerned about recent developments and declared Jerusalem a unique and sacred place for Christians, Jews, and Muslims that has a special vocation for peace. He appealed that everyone respects the status quo of the city, according to UN resolutions. He said, quote, "I pray to the Lord that its identity is preserved and strengthened for the benefit of the Holy Land, the Middle East, and the whole world, and that wisdom and prudence prevail to prevent new elements of tension from being added to a global context already convulsed by so many cruel conflicts," end quote. The Supreme Court yesterday heard oral arguments in the case of a Colorado baker who would not create a wedding cake for a same-sex couple. Based on questioning in the Masterpiece Cake case, it appears that Justice Anthony Kennedy could be the swing vote once again. And the same vicious winds that were making three Southern California wildfires so destructive were also making the firefight itself more difficult. Water dropping planes and helicopters that have been mostly grounded because it's too dangerous to fly them in strong gusts. Commanders hope to have them back in the air this morning, but all indications are that the winds will still be whipping then, too. The blazes spurred evacuation orders for nearly 200,000 people and burned nearly 200 homes. The Catholic News Agency reports that among places evacuated was Thomas Aquinas College. There was minimal damage done to the campus, and all students are safe. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
I want to tell you today about a very special thrift store located in Downingtown, Pennsylvania. Mary's Thrift Store was dedicated to our Blessed Mother on its opening day, May 13, 2017, the 100th anniversary of the first apparition of Our Lady in Fatima. Mary's Thrift Store is located at the Wedgwood Shopping Center at 4327 West Lincoln Highway in Downingtown, Pennsylvania. All proceeds benefit the St. Joseph's House, a charitable nonprofit in Coatesville, Pennsylvania, whose mission is to serve families and children in need. Come shop in this well-stocked store of quality merchandise that will bless you and your budget from Monday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. And also check out the mission of St. Joseph's House by visiting www.sjhouse.org.
What's a good prescription for an awesome start to your day? A strong cup of coffee, Gary Zimak, and Spirit in the Morning.
He sees you down by the waterline. Knows what you're thinking all the time. He sees the rising of the waves. When the tide starts rolling in, he lets you know it's gonna be okay. He sees you dancing in the moonlight. His arms around you hold you tight. And if those clouds should start to break, he'll be standing out in the rain with you. And though it's hard to believe, he believes in you. God is watching over you. Better think.
water, Lord.
And welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. That was God is Watching Over You by Phil Joel. I'm Gary Zimak. Thanks for tuning in. The time right now is 7:35. Well, there's a new book out from the Independent Institute. It's called Pope Francis and the Caring Society, edited by Dr. Robert Waples. And Dr. Waples joins us on the phone now to talk a little bit about the book. Dr. Waples, good morning.
Thank you for having me on.
Thanks so much for coming on the program. I love the book. This is a very interesting book, Pope Francis and the Caring Society. If you could you summarize briefly what this book is all about?
Sure. So, you know, I think it's largely written in response to Pope Francis's call for dialogue that he had in the encyclical Laudato Si, mm-hmm. on the care of our common home.
Mm-hmm.
And so that encyclical is all about the environment, but it's also about people, about the rich and the poor and the economy.
Yeah.
And he uses the term dialogue 25 times in the encyclical. And so this is a group of economists who've gotten together and especially want to engage that discussion on things we can do to help improve the environment, improve the economy for the poor, and also have, you know, improve things for the rich as well, but,
yeah.
you know, primarily focusing on how to alleviate poverty and how to improve the environment.
In the introduction to the book, which you wrote, you said something startling, and I want to quote you here. As Pope Francis sees it, the purpose of the economy, like the purpose of everything else in the world, is to lead all people to God. That is a really novel concept. I think most people are not familiar with that.
Well,
right? I mean, we don't normally think of the economy as leading people closer to God.
In fact, I could have written that sentence and put anything in the blank, because that's the purpose of everything, is to lead us to God, right?
Yeah.
That's what God's creation is all about.
Right. Right, and that's it's an important concept for us to remember, because I think a lot of people complain, why mm-hmm. is the Pope talking about the economy?
Mm-hmm.
Why should the Pope be involved with the economy?
Yeah. And you know, he points out in the encyclical that basically, you know, every action we take is a moral action, and that especially includes our acts of consumption mm-hmm. and our acts of production. And so think about somebody like me who is blessed by a very high income. I'm a college professor. We get paid very well.
Mm-hmm.
One point that the Pope makes is that if you're rich like that, riches are dangerous things. Jesus said the same thing.
Yeah.
That we can kind of strive through life not to use our jobs as our vocation as ways to, you know, just help everyone else around us as we're earning our living. But we can instead turn those into, oh, I just want the money. All I want to do is run out and consume and consume.
Right.
Pope talks about the whirlwind of consumption that just sucks us up. He talks about the lesser lights of the world, like those possessions we have, and how they distract us from the true light. And so it's a really important message to the rich of the world, like me, about how we can do things that maybe, he uses the word, divest ourselves of some of this riches. Give them away to the poor, and it'll make them better off, but it'll also make us better off. But the broader message of the book is that there's some tried and true ways of making the poor better off that just don't involve redistributing wealth, right? But
mm-hmm.
creating wealth, especially the power of a market economy to do that. It has alleviated absolute poverty around the world to such a startling degree during our lifetimes. We've seen an immense amount of economic growth. This country was always pretty well off. But in poor countries around the world, in Africa, in Asia, Latin America, we've seen startling amounts of growth as places like China have turned more and more to a market-based economy. That's one of the main messages we want to get across in the book.
Yeah, and that's one that, when you explain this, it makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of times people don't give our Holy Father a chance, you know, when he starts speaking about the economy,
mm-hmm.
and they just flip the switch. That's it. He shouldn't be speaking about the economy,
why is he
right?
talking about this?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right? But when you say that, it does make perfect sense. And let's face it, I admire your honesty there. Being wealthy or having an abundance of possessions can be very dangerous for us spiritually.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Jesus said this. Just go back and read the Gospels. You will see this. You can't serve God and mammon, right? So this is not the Pope reinventing the wheel. This is Pope being very faithful to 2 millennia of teaching.
The Pope speaks a lot about the poor.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think he... I mean, for lack of a better term, do you think he favors the poor more so than the rich, or does he understand both groups?
Well, you know, the Church has this preferential option for the poor, right? When in doubt, the decision should be made as to what's going to benefit the poor is one way to interpret that. But, you know, I think what the Pope has in mind, of course, is what I said kind of at the beginning, that we're designed for all of us to get to heaven together.
Right.
And so what we need to do is set up a system, an economic system, that's going to allow everyone to flourish. And mm-hmm. one thing he points out so well is that work, which many people see as drudgery, no,
right.
that's a noble task that we are all created for. And business can be a noble task if it provides more work to people and if it allows, you know, people to lead these meaningful lives.
Right, and that is a topic that people need to be aware of, the fact that business is noble. And I think throughout these essays in the book, and the essays are by many different economists, are they all economists in the book?
Yeah, all economists.
It helps us to get a better idea of why the Pope says what he does. And do you think, Dr. Waples, it's important to understand his background and understand that he came from Argentina?
Yeah. And so, you know, when you hear the Pope saying deeply skeptical things about mm-hmm. a market economy, about capitalism, I think a lot of that does reflect his Argentine background.
Okay.
But think about the encyclicals that Pope John Paul II wrote, right? They were very supportive of the capitalist market system, and that especially came out because he grew up under communism. He knew what the opposite
right.
was like.
Right.
On the other hand, Jorge Bergoglio, the Pope, back when he was in Argentina, you know, grew up in a completely different economic system. Argentina at one point was one of the richest economies in the world.
Hmm.
And although it grew during the 20th century, it just slid down among the rankings of nations as it didn't grow as fast as so many of the other ones did.
Right.
And one of the reasons that it didn't grow to its potential was that it adopted some economic policies that were basically these corporate policies under, you know, Juan Perón and the Peronist policies that are what I'd call crony capitalism, not actual capitalism.
Mm.
And so when he sees capitalism, I think he sees it through those lenses. And he's seen, if you want to call it capitalism at its worst, or, you know, this failed, you know, non-capitalist system,
mm-hmm.
Where, you know, who gets the power? It's the businesses that are in league with the government. They're so completely intertwined.
Right.
It's not a true capitalist system where there's freedom of entry of new firms and therefore competition for both employees and competition for the customers, and so the gains are going to be going to those groups rather than the, you know, the businesses themselves.
Mm. And while most of the essays address economic issues, there is at least one essay in the book that talks about the environment.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a topic that I think the Pope gets so much pushback on. You know, if the economy is bad, I think the environment is even worse. People are saying, why? Why does he care about the environment? And I like to look at it as, if the Pope cares about it, and he's the vicar of Christ,
mm-hmm.
maybe I should listen to what he has to say.
Yeah, well, I would say that the encyclical is well worth reading or
okay.
rereading.
Right.
And so one of the primary things that he's decrying in the encyclical is that so many people take the earth as, you know, just like any other thing that is just there for you to use in any way that you want.
Wow.
But, you know, that's obviously not how God intended it. If you go back and read Genesis with the dominion, you know, the Lord giving dominion to people,
yeah.
it's not just here, take it, use it in any way you want. The verses right before that are, you know, God made man in his own image. So we should treat the world the way God would treat the world. He's a creator. He's not a destroyer, right?
Yeah.
And so one of the things we do in the book is we try to think about, you know, things that economists have learned over the years that we could offer as advice to the Pope to help solve these environmental problems. In fact, many of the environmental problems are being solved. And growth of the economy, rising wealth levels, gives you the affordability, right, the luxury of spending your money now on cleaning up the environment rather than dirtying it, which maybe is done earlier in a development stage. So the environment in the United States, for example, has become getting cleaner and cleaner during my lifetime. Mm. In ways that I can see with my own eyes and feel in my own lungs, right?
Yeah.
But there's some, you know, sort of lessons that we try to expound on in the book, and one of the key ones is the immense importance of property rights for solving environmental problems. If nobody owns it, or if it's kind of it's owned in common, who's going to look out for the resource?
Right.
It's not their concern. And so think about the weak property rights they have in Haiti versus the stronger rights in the Dominican Republic on the other side of the island of Hispaniola.
Mm.
You can see from the sky as you're flying in that it's greener on one side of the island and not on the other side.
Right.
Because in Haiti, where the property rights were not very secure, you knew that the government and their cronies could come in and just like steal your property. They might come in and cut down my trees. They've been cutting other people's trees down.
Sure.
So I'm going to cut them down before they get here. And so the whole countryside just gets denuded and massive erosion. But if you own the property securely, you're going to husband that resource. You're going to try to develop it and, you know, make it more valuable because, well, it's your livelihood, right? And you're going to care about it for years and even generations to come if you own it.
Excellent point. The book is Pope Francis and the Caring Society, edited by Dr. Robert Waples. Dr. Waples, I want to thank you for joining us this morning. I'm going to put a link to where our listeners can purchase the book on spiritinthemorning.com. Thanks again, my friend.
Thank you for having me on.
All right, my pleasure. Dr. Robert Waples talking about the Pope and the economy. Good stuff. When we come back, be not afraid.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. Anne Frank was a young Jewish girl who, along with her family, went into hiding in Amsterdam during the Nazi occupation of the Netherlands. Before they were captured and eventually died in a concentration camp, the Franks lived for 2 years in a few concealed rooms hidden behind a bookcase. However, Anne Frank never lost her love for the outdoors, as she wrote in her diary. The best remedy for those who are afraid, lonely, or unhappy is to go outside, somewhere where they can be quite alone with the heavens, nature, and God, because only then does one feel that all is as it should be, and that God wishes to see people happy amidst the simple beauty of nature. I firmly believe that nature brings solace in all troubles. This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is provided in part by Holly Hill Health Foods, a family-owned business for over 25 years, located at 1200 Welsh Road, North Wales, PA. They offer a large selection of vitamins, minerals, herbs, formulas, and three nutritionists to serve you. Call them at 215-361-7770 or visit their website at www.hollyhillhealth.com.
It's a good morning, spelled with a Z. You're on Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. Lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No one else will do, 'cause nothing else can take your place. Feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find a way. Bring me back to you. You're all.
ladies.
Love the sound of those applause, but I don't think they're for me. Welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. That was Michael W. Smith.
I was thinking the same thing.
Why did I turn Frank Eliasson's microphone on? You know, I have control of it. I should have just waited so I could have my moment.
He's just looking for an opening, brother. So am I.
I know. You too.
Oh, man.
Like a bunch of sharks, and I feel like a piece of raw meat.
Wow.
All right, anyway.
Isn't that inspirational?
Welcome. Yeah, that's
right.
Hey, good morning.
I feel like a piece of raw meat. Now, there's a clip. Someone just tuned in and got just that.
You guys are sharks.
Well, we are. It sounds like a new show.
All right, let me focus.
Not on
here.
This network.
Welcome back to Spirit in the Morning, where we inspire you each day. I'm Gary Zimmer.
Go out there and get them, folks.
Along with Dave Parker and Frank Eliasson. All right, it's time for your Be Not Afraid Bible verse. I think I need this today. Today we look at Amos chapter 7, verse 14. Then Amos answered Amaziah, "I am no prophet nor prophet's son, but I am a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore trees." This is a common complaint by just about all of the Old Testament prophets. I'm not a prophet. Why me, Lord? You got the wrong guy. They all said the same thing. And the Lord, this message is simple. No, I'll give you what you need. You go share my words with others. Yeah. That's the call for all of us.
Exactly.
And oftentimes we feel like I'm not worthy. Well, guess what? You're not. None of us are. But do it anyway, right? The Holy Spirit will give us what we need.
I could hear him in an old Jewish voice. Don't worry about it. Yeah. I got you. Just go do my work. I got you covered. You know,
exactly.
That wasn't good, but anyway.
No, it wasn't.
It sounded Italian.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I'll have to work on my Jewish voice.
Got some sauce with that?
Yeah, that's good.
Or gravy, some gravy.
Why don't we just kill that one? Yeah. Kill that segment.
Dave, do me a favor.
Time to edit this show.
Keep the day job, okay?
All right. Well, this is everything. All right.
How much time do we got before we completely go off the rails? Let me read a meditation.
Too late.
That bend in the road.
This is from the book 1 Minute Reflections for Advent from Liguori Publications. Today's reflection: Advent is the season for cultivating and listening to the deepest longings of our hearts. These longings inhabit each one of us and express the deepest cravings of our innermost selves. Advent allows us time to be attentive to these powerful yearnings and provides us the opportunity for redirecting them toward the only one who can appease them.
The piercing cry of the human heart expresses our deep hunger for God. It is the complete acknowledgement that He alone can quench the thirst and yearning of the human heart. Look, guys, we're all looking for happiness.
I love that.
So many people in the world are trying to find happiness. They're looking for God, whether they know it or not.
Yep.
And in the midst of the craziness, the frenzy, you know, it's already begun.
Yeah.
I'm seeing it around me. I'm starting to feel it myself. Got things you have to do.
Yeah.
He's there. We just need to look for Him.
Yeah, absolutely.
It reminded me, again, the craving that we all have, that emptiness when we don't have Him. The causation of a lot of problems in the world. I mean, I look at AA, the motto. Yeah. I mean, and just drug addiction. I mean, the people trying to fill up an emptiness. Where, I mean, they start maybe, let's party and do this and do that and have fun, but they're really searching for something else beyond that here and now stuff. And then, so it's a search for God. And that, in a way, that's the basis for helping organizations like AA.
But you bring up a point. It's St. Augustine's quote, "Our hearts are restless until they rest in thee."
Absolutely.
I mean, we've got that restlessness, that longing. That's the desire for God. Frank, the last guest that we had on, Robert Waples, talking about the Pope's message on the economy and the environment. I loved his take on this because you are very well aware of this. I know that so many people say Pope Francis should stick to faith and morals. What's he doing talking about the economy and the environment? Well, God created the environment and the economy, and we should pay attention.
I think, you know, we should be listening to the Pope on many fronts, and I think that sometimes he's going to have messages that maybe we don't agree with or we don't like or we don't want to hear.
Yep.
It's probably more like it. And I think this happens more often than not. And, you know, it's to take back. One of the things to understand, though, is we're all product, including Pope Francis, of our own history.
Right.
What we're used to, what we're comfortable with. And one of the things, as you hear from other people, A, keep in mind, what is their history? Mm-hmm. Why do they have that perspective? Mm-hmm. The same thing with Pope Francis. Why is that perspective? The next thing you should be asking is, what can I learn from it? Instead of sitting there saying, you're wrong, go, what can I take in?
Yeah.
What are the points that it actually can help me in my life? And I think that it is worth listening to a lot of different people, especially the Pope.
Right.
I think we're obligated there on all those fronts.
Well, on that note, let's take a look at what the Pope said this morning on Twitter. 27 minutes ago, the Pope tweeted this: "No child of God can be discarded in His eyes. He entrusts a mission to each one of us."
Wow.
You know, sometimes I don't feel I'm important enough in God's eyes, but He entrusted a mission to me today.
Absolutely.
And you.
But I'll take that even a step further. There's times where we think someone's bad.
Yeah.
And we want, they're going to hell. You know, they're here for a reason.
That's right.
Yeah.
What is that reason? What can I learn from them? What can others learn from them? What is their purpose here? And, you know, that compassion, that love, that mercy becomes such a key component to our faith.
Amen.
But also our understanding of each other.
Well, I'm trying to link it back to Dr. Waples and Laudato Si. And the first thing I thought of when I started hearing him was, I mean, and in the Advent season and in general, I thought of the concept of conspicuous consumption, which is a theory put forth long time ago in the 1800s. And I'm wondering if I'm going to look at his bibliography, Thorsten Veblen's theory. I mean, we show, yep. go get more.
Right.
We got to step back from that.
That's exactly right.
And that's
right.
What Waples' book.
How about we get more
about.
Of God?
That's right.
More
great
Jesus.
Message for today.
More to
go
follow.
Out go out and do that today. Remember, wherever you go, whatever you do, the Lord is with you. Turn around and say hi. We'll talk to you next time.
God bless.
This show is produced with love by Holy Spirit Radio, inspired by the Holy Spirit, communicating